Appreciate this pastor coming, bringing his folks tonight, and just good singing. How many of you glad it's under the blood? Hey! Let's try that again. How many of you glad it's under the blood? Hey! You glad you saved tonight? Say amen. Hey! I pastor in my hometown where I grew up in that area my entire life, like some of you got, and we bought the First Baptist Church in our town 27 years ago, and when people come to our church for the first time and start asking questions about the history and my history, and I'll just take them back to our nurseries and say, many years ago, this was the First Baptist Church in our town, and when I was a little boy, the First Baptist Church had a preschool, and what is now our nurseries is where I went to preschool, in that very room where we have our nurseries now. And what I'm trying to say is everybody in the area knows my past. They remember me before I got saved. And I run into fellas, even guys in my church that we grew up together. They like to talk about what we used to do. And sometimes I wonder if God's not sitting in heaven wondering, what are y'all talking about? What are y'all talking about? I don't see nothing but the blood of my dear son. Amen. Thank God for that good singing. Why don't you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. And keep your Bibles out tonight. We're going to turn to several places. And we're going to read several verses of Scripture. And I'll tell you a story. And we'll go eat a hot dog. We went, hey man, they got it smelling good down there. I'm telling you, the food may not be worth eating, but it smells good. Amen. I saw several crock pots of homemade chili, and I may not sleep a wink tonight. Amen. But I love hot dogs. That's about one of my favorite meals in the world. So anyway, we'll get you out of here as fast as we can, but we're not going to rush the Lord. Amen. Amen. So just keep your Bibles out. We'll look at about five or six verses of Scripture tonight, and then I'll tell you a little story, and that'll be the story. It will be the message tonight. But if you found 1 John chapter number 3, say amen. Before we read the Scripture tonight, I want to tell Brother Dilbert Terry how much I appreciate him. I don't know, preacher, that I've ever had in 33 years of pastoring my church, I don't know that I've ever had a preacher come and preach a meeting for me that I've never met. And I was thinking while we were driving yesterday, I thought, he's a brave man. Amen. Of course, anybody, even if they know me and they have me, they're pretty brave. Amen. I'm like old Brother Earl Hughes. I'm tickled to death when somebody invites me to come to preach the first time, but I'm really impressed when they have me come back. Amen. Oh, but thank you, preacher, for everything. The little cabin, Airbnb, whatever you want to call that thing you put us in, that's so nice. Whoever put the basket together, thank you. Thank you for the meal last night, Brother Jack. And Brother Dave, thank you. Invited us over to his house today. We shot guns. Amen. We did what men do today. Amen. I was kind of jealous, though, Miss Katie. Thank you for what you did for my wife. People do stuff for me all the time. The greatest blessing in the world is to see somebody love on my bride a little bit. Now, I am truly grateful for that. But I was a little bit jealous. She said, I'm going to get a massage. And I thought, man, I want one too. I can shoot a gun anytime. Amen. I'm kidding. I wouldn't put you through that, Miss Katie. Amen. But we do. We greatly appreciate everything. It is truly an honor. And man, we've been talking about it today. We love this place. We just love it. I feel at home. I love to go to church tonight. It's a little bit dangerous when I feel at home. I'm a lot safer preaching when I'm a little uncomfortable and nervous. But when I feel at home, there's no telling what's going to come. What's going to come out of my mouth, amen. But anyway, we just want to tell you we love you guys and feel like we've known you all our life, and I'm thankful for it. And anyway, I hope maybe we'll get to come back one day. Brother Dilbert's been worried all day about this graduation tonight and the crowd, and let me just tell you, we're thankful for you that are here, and you got a lot of places you could have been tonight, and you chose to be here with us, and that's a blessing. I'm not worried about who's not here. Amen. That's why we have the interweb. Amen. If they miss it, they can go online and watch it later. Amen. Maybe somebody will watch it during the graduation tonight and get happy. Maybe somebody will get born again at the high school graduation. But I'm glad you're here tonight. We're so impressed with all the young people. Man, we pulled up in the parking lot last night, and there's kids everywhere. And, man, that's thrilled my heart. So we're glad you're here. 1 John chapter number 3. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture in 1 John chapter number 3, and then we're going to John chapter number 8. 1 John chapter number 3. I want you to look with me at verse number 10. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 10. Several years ago, the actor Mel Gibson put out the movie about the Passion of the Christ. Whether you liked it, whether you not, it would have been a whole lot better if they'd have made it in English, in my opinion. Amen? But anyway, a great visual of what Christ went through for us, which I still don't believe was a drop in a bucket to what he went through for you and I. But shortly after the movie came out, he was interviewed by Barbara Walters. And Mel Gibson made a statement to Barbara Walters. He said, "Now, Barbara, you must understand, we are all God's children. We are all God's children." And a light went off in my head. We're not all God's children. We're not all God's children. We are all God's creation. I'm going to say that again. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. I stand before you tonight a child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, adopted by my Heavenly Father, but I did not start out that way. And I want you to, this is something you need to establish. If I had to title the message tonight, I would title it this way: Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? Amen? You better leave here tonight knowing who your spiritual father is. I want you to watch 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 10 if you disagree with what I just said, where the Bible said, "In this the children of God are manifest." And the children of who? The devil. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So he said, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In other words, he said the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. In other words, it will come to light who you are. Amen. You can play church for a long time. Are y'all all right? I got on a bus when I was 4 years old, rode the bus to church. My mother became the bus captain of that very bus route and ran that bus route for 25 years. At 6 years old, I went to the altar, Brother Dilbert, on a double dog dare. Amen. Brother Ed Ballou was preaching our spring revival. We were sitting about three quarters of the way back. Me and my buddy Roger Bush, we were sitting there, we was playing hangman. That's before they had video games. We had to play our games with a pencil and a piece of paper. And we wasn't paying attention to the preacher, the singing, or nothing. It got time for the altar call. And my buddy elbowed me, and he said, "I dare you to go to the altar." I said, "I ain't going. You go." He said, "I double dog dare you." Well, you got to go. Amen. You can't turn down a double dog dare. They'll take away your man card. So here I go. I come down to the altar. On this side of the altar right here, I can see it plain as day. A deacon knelt on one side of me. A deacon knelt on the other side of me. My mother knelt behind me. That deacon on one side said, "Say this," and I said it. The deacon on the other side said, "Say this," and I said that. And my mama shouted, and they told me I say. They baptized me and made me a member of the church. But if I'd have died, I'd have went straight to hell. I didn't go to the altar under conviction. I didn't get saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I got saved because my buddy dared me to get saved. Are y'all okay? I'm not saying you can't get saved at 6 years old. I know you can. I baptize children all the time who are sincere, in their profession of faith. But I was not. I had not a clue what I was doing. You know what I did for the next, I'm not good with math, but till I was 19 year old, you know what I did? I played church. If you were to ask me if I died today, would I go to heaven? I would have told you, yes, I'm a member of the White Oak Springs Baptist Church. That was my story. Many nights I would get under conviction, under the preaching of the Word of God. The preacher would preach on hell. I'd lay awake in my bed at night, scared to death that Jesus was going to come and I'd be left behind. I remember, Brother Rob, it's so good to have you. I remember one night getting up, I was so scared. I forgot who the preacher was. I believe it was Mays Jackson. Mays Jackson had preached that night, and he preached that message about setting your barley fields on fire. And Brother Mays preached, and I went home that night, and I laid down in my bed in our little single-wide trailer, scared to death, and it was thundering and lightning. And every time it thundered, I thought it was the rapture. I remember crawling out of my bed in the middle of the night, crawling into my mother's room and reaching up on her bed to feel to see if she was still there. Amen. But at 19 years old, I told you last night, we left a New Year's Eve party, went to the preacher's house, and me and my wife got saved together. Amen. So you need to establish tonight, are you a child of God? Or are you a child of the devil? Some people get offended at that very statement. Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? You need to know that more than you know your real birthday, your physical birthday. You need to know whether or not if you died today, heaven would be your home. If you're saved, I ain't trying to talk you out of it. You can't get saved but one time. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. But you need to establish tonight whose you are. Whose child you are. Look at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. We'll get where we're going in just a few minutes. John chapter number 8. Say amen when you get there. John chapter number 8. I want you to look with me at verse number 44. If you got a red letters in your Bible, who's talking right here? Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 44 of John chapter number 8, ye are of your father who? The devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. And I did. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So look up here real good. Are we clear? You are either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. We are not all God's children. I just want to make that real clear. You got to get this down pat tonight about who you are. Amen. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I'm glad I have a father. Amen. My daughter and another young lady in our church and my son-in-law, they sing an a cappella song, I Have a Father Who Can. I have a father. He said, I can't make a world and hold it in my hand, but I have a father who, I'm glad I have a heavenly father. Amen. I grew up without a dad in my life, but man, I'm glad one day. Woo! I'm glad one day God accepted me as his child. Go to Colossians chapter number one. Colossians chapter number one. Just a couple of more verses. Colossians chapter number one. Say amen when you get there. Now, I want to show you what happened. How many of you saved tonight? Wave at me. You know, if you died today, heaven would be your home. That's about everybody. Praise the Lord. I want to show you what happened when you got saved. Colossians chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. I'm going to read 12 too. The Bible said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Watch verse 13 very carefully. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's read that verse again. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Many years ago in our church, there was a young lady, a young mother, and she had a sister who was all strung out on drugs. It was, we're on the internet, I won't say who it was. But anyway, she was out of church for a long time. She just started coming back. But she had a sister who was strung out on drugs, and she took her sister to court to take her little child. She had a little girl. She took her sister to court to take her child away from her because she was an unfit mother. And she had me come. I was supposed to give a testimony. I never got to open my mouth. I just sat there and listened. But I'll never forget what the judge did that day. The judge looked at that baby's natural mother. He looked at that baby's birth mother. You got to stay with me. He looked at that birth mother and he said to her, he said, "You are not worthy to parent this child. So I am taking your right away as a parent and I am giving that to your sister." Or actually, maybe it was their mother. I don't remember. That was many years ago. But what that judge did, he took that child away, preacher, from an unfit parent and gave it to somebody who had sense enough to raise it. Are y'all all right? Listen to me. Here's what happened when I got saved. My old father, the devil, was an unfit father. Amen. He was a liar. He is a deceiver and a destroyer. And one day the high court of heaven, amen, the judge dropped the gavel. He looked at the devil and said, "You are not fit to raise this boy, so I am taking him away from you. I'm translating him into the kingdom of my dear son." He took me away from Satan and gave me to the Lord Jesus. Somebody ought to get happy tonight. Amen. I did not have the power to get saved. I did not have the wisdom to get saved. But I'm glad there's a mighty God in heaven. Amen. I didn't have the power to quit my sin all by myself. Amen. Y'all all right tonight? Amen. I got translated. I like that. I remember when I was growing up, I never really got into it, but Star Trek was a big thing when I was growing up. And I remember the beam. How many of you remember the beam that come down, boom, out of the bottom of that ship, and they would stand in that light, that beam of light, and they'd say, "Beam me up, Scotty." And man, they'd be translated, boom, from one place to another. I'm glad in an instant I didn't have to work months on end to get into the kingdom of God. He translated me in an instant. As soon as I believed in my heart, hey, he took me from that old dirty, nasty, hellish father and gave me to a heavenly, holy Jesus Christ. That's what happened when you got saved. That's what can happen if you'll get saved right here tonight. Amen. Are we all right? So, we can have an adoption hearing in here tonight. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Almost done with the scripture. Romans chapter number 8. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans chapter number 8. Say amen when you get there. I want you to see these verses tonight. And I want you to really understand them. Not just hear my words in your head, but let them find a place in your heart tonight. Romans chapter number 8. And I want you to look with me at verse number 15. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 15. We're talking about what happened when you got saved. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba," say it with me, "Father." Do you understand? I had no reason or no right to call God my Father until that adoption hearing took place, until He translated me from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now I can honestly bow my head and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Somebody ought to shout hallelujah right now. How many of you glad you are a child of the King? I'm going to say that again. Thank God I am a child of the King. Amen. A kid looked at me one day in our church and said it kind of shamefacedly. She said, "I'm adopted." I said, "Me too. Me too. You're adopted?" I said, "Yeah, I'm adopted." I got adopted when I was 19 years old. Amen. I got adopted into the family of God, the greatest family that ever has been, ever will be, the only family that will live in glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank God. Hey, we can have an adoption hearing tonight, and that same judge that translated me can translate you. Are you all right? Well, let's look at one more verse of Scripture. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I don't know how it is up here in Tennessee, but down there where we live, our young people struggle. Our young people struggle. They're up and down. They're in and out. They're on and off. Not just our young people, but preacher, even our adults. Amen. If I were to ask you, if you could be honest, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not, how many of you still struggle with sin? Probably every hand in this room would go up. Amen. Kids, don't ever get the idea that because the preacher's up here on Sunday preaching to you that he's some high and holy. He's just a man too. Amen. He's just a man. And we all struggle. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle? Why is it so hard to pray? Why is it so hard to read your Bible? I'm going to show you right here in 1 Peter. It'd help if I'd go to 1 Peter, wouldn't it? 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now look at verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant for your, say the word with me. Adversary. Your what?
Adversary.
How many of you know what an adversary is? Kids, y'all know what an adversary is? It's an enemy. Y'all know what an enemy is? How many of you play Fortnite? There you go. They got enemies, man. While you're trying to kill somebody, somebody's trying to kill you. Is that right? Am I right about it? I don't know. I ain't never played Fortnite. I don't even know how it works. I've just heard it over and over and over. An adversary is an enemy. He said, your adversary, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, who? Read it. Tell me. Who's the adversary? Wait a minute. I thought he used to be my dad. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's what happened when you got saved. When you got saved, the Lord Jesus translated you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son by the Holy Ghost. Are y'all all right?
Yes.
Amen. There was an adoption hearing. He took you away from an unworthy father and gave you to a holy father. Now, because of that adoption hearing, because you no longer belong to him, he's mad as fire. Are y'all all right? Your old daddy is not happy about your newfound family. Your old daddy will not sit still while you enjoy the goodness and the joy of the Lord. He's going to attack you on every single hand. Amen. Every single angle. He's going to come at you every way he can. He can't get you unsaved, but he can keep you from doing something for God. Are we all right? Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, the devil don't want to mess you up. He wants to ruin you. Are we okay? He don't want to just trip you up. He wants to ruin you. You know what? I don't think anybody ever got up, woke up on a bright sunny day and said, you know what? I'm going to become an alcoholic today. I know what I want to do. I want to get hooked on alcohol. I don't think anybody ever woke up on a bright sunny day and said, I know what I want to do. I want to get hooked on methamphetamine. I don't think a young lady ever woke up and said, you know what I want to do today? I want to be pregnant out of wedlock. I want to raise a baby all by myself. Well, it got quiet right there. I don't think anybody ever intends for that. We see the beginning of sin. We never see the end of sin. I'm going to say it again. There's joy in sin for a season. It's fun, but it has an end. Wages of sin is death. The devil wants to destroy your life. If you're saved here tonight, you're walking around with a target on your back. Say amen. Now I want you to go to Ephesians, last verse of Scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll give you the message tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. Say amen when you get there. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15. I still see pages turning. That's good. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. Where the Bible said, see then that you walk, how many can say that word with me? Circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Young people, look up here at me. How many of you can tell me what that word circumspectly means? One can, man. Got a smart chick on her hands right there, amen. She probably makes straight A's. Circumspectly. Well, when I read that verse, I didn't have a clue. When I read that verse, I read through it. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That sounds real spiritual, don't it? But I didn't have a clue what circumspectly means. I looked that word up. You know what it means? It simply means I should let her tell us, amen. Circumspectly, here's what it means. It means with watchfulness in every direction, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. To guard against surprise or danger. If you're not careful, sin will catch you while you ain't looking. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Sin will blindside you. Ain't nobody ever had a wreck with sin and got up to brag about it. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Amen. Sin will sneak up on you. And you'll find out that you're knee-deep in it, and you'll look at yourself and wonder, how did I get here? Kind of like that prodigal son in that hog pen. Y'all remember? The Bible said he came to himself. I mean, buddy, he was in the hog pen, left a good home, went into the far country, wasted his substance on riotous living. And he woke up one day, all his money's gone. They've sent him into the hog pens to feed the hogs. And the boy was hungry. The Bible said he would have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And the Bible said he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's servants have, I can't remember, food and some to spare. And here I am, eating with a bunch of pigs. Amen. You ever wonder if he sat down in that hog? You ever been in a hog pen? It don't smell good. You can't even wash it off of you. My granddaddy raised hogs, and I thought it was my job to ride them. Amen. You ain't never rode a pig, son. That's fun right there. Amen. But you will smell like a pig for days after that. You ride a hog, ain't nothing to hold on to, buddy. I'm telling you, it's a blast. Anyway. He woke up in that hog pen, in that stench, in that filth. I wonder if he had this thought, preacher. How in the world did I go from that to this? How did I get there? We have a ladies' home in our church. Some of those ladies have beautiful children, but those children have been taken away from them. Grandparents are raising them because they have made a wreck out of their lives. Don't get to the place where you wonder, how in the world did I get here? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now here's the story, and we'll go eat a hot dog. I didn't understand what circumspectly meant. Years ago, this is where I got this message. How many deer hunters we got in the house? That's it? In a place as country as this? Hallelujah. I would say, how many of you are against deer hunting? Raise your hand, but I don't want to know. Because I want to preach with a good spirit tonight. Amen. God made them for food. Amen. We have a saying where I live, if it's brown, it's down. If it's flying, it's dying. If it's swimming, it's frying. Amen. Hallelujah. God made some pretty good groceries. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I am a deer hunter. I have just read this verse of Scripture, walking circumspectly. What in the world does circumspectly mean? How do you walk circumspectly? Do you walk like you're cool, man? How do you walk circumspectly? What is circumspectly? Amen. I'm sitting on my deer stand. Now, y'all got to get this picture in my head. I'm up on top of a hardwood ridge, up on top of the ridge, holler down this way and a holler down that way. There is white oak acorns. That's a deer's favorite food in all the world. They'd rather eat white oak acorns than they had steak. Amen. I'd rather eat the steak myself. I'm sitting up there in this deer stand. I have got on probably $350 to $400 worth of real tree camo. I mean, I've got it from, I got real tree camo boots. I got on real tree camo pants, a real tree camo shirt. I got real tree camo gloves. I got a face mask, a net that's real tree camouflage. My bow is real tree. My Matthews bow is real tree camouflage. My deer stand that I'm 30 foot up a pine tree is real tree camo. What I'm trying to say is I am invisible. Me and the pine tree, we are one. I have spent $350 to blend in with nature. There is nothing in these woods that can spot me. Nothing. I'm invisible. Camo. Y'all got to get this picture. I'm up there in that deer stand. I'm sitting there, I just bored to death. All of a sudden, I hear something. What is the world? I look down that ridge, and here comes an old mule-eared doe. She had ears that long. She come. That means she's old. How'd she get old? She ain't stupid. She come walking down. She come walking straight down that ridge like I had her on a string, Brother David. She was coming right to me, and she would bend down and get one of them acorns. And you could hear it. And then she'd give it this. She'd take a couple more steps. Eating them acorns. And she'd pop that head up. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what she's doing? I said, yes, she's eating acorns. He said, no, she's walking. She's walking circumspectly. While she's out hunting for food, she realizes she's also being hunted. I've got my yardage marked, 25 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards for your pins on your boat. Anyway, she's getting close, and I'm like, come on, come on. Here I am. I'm up here on this, in this, and I done got stood up in my deer stand. I ease my boat. I'm moving like this, just like real slow. I got my release hooked on my bow. I done got into position. She's coming, she's coming, she's coming, she's coming. She gets about 30, 35 yards. Pull that bow back. She gets down there to 25 yards. That's right where I wanted her. I'm ready. The deer trail on that ridge came at 25 yards and turned a hard right. In other words, what she's supposed to do when she gets there is turn to the right, give me a broadside shot straight through both her lungs, and we're having her for supper. Amen. I mean, I'm watching backstraps walk down that ridge. I'm salivating, thinking about her tenderloins on my grill. Amen. She gets down there to that 25-yard marker. She don't look to the left. She don't look to the right. She looks 30 foot up that pine tree. Dead in my eyeballs. I'm hanging off the side of that tree, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, don't make eye contact. I know she can hear my heartbeat. My heart's going. You said you get that excited over a doe? Yeah. My heart's a-pounding. I'm like, don't look at her. Don't look at her. And she's staring me down. I mean, she ain't moving. She ain't twitching her ears. She ain't doing nothing. And all of a sudden, she gives it this. Looking at me, and she goes,
yeah.
See if we can tear this one up. Where was I at? I'm 30 feet up a pine tree. She has done busted me. She has busted me dead to rights, Brother Rob. I mean, she's gone. I'm standing there in my $350, $400 worth of camo, my $1,000 bow, my $150 arrows, all the money I done spent, and all I can see is her little white tail waving. See, you sucker. She trotted off down the woods. I thought, I might as well have been wearing flashing lights and bells. Not only have I got on camo, it's called scent lock. It's supposed to block my human scent. Don't believe that stuff. It ain't true. I don't care if Bill Jordan is your first cousin. It ain't true. It's a lie to get your money. She busted me dead to right. 3 weeks later, I am in that. You know what that doe was doing? She was walking. How was she walking? Circumspectly. You know what that doe was doing? How was she walking?
Circumspectly.
How was she walking? Circumspectly. She was watching in every direction with constant attention, looking out for surprise or danger. She was walking circumspectly. 3 weeks later, I'm in that same pine tree. Same time of the morning, 9 o'clock. I thought, 9 o'clock's the last time that heifer come through here. I got her today. Amen. I'm ready. I done got some scent killer. I sprayed all over. I drank it. Amen. No, I didn't. But I sprayed that stuff all over me. I said, I'm going to nail her hide. I was mad. I'm standing up there in that tree, same spot, same time, everything. Here it comes. I said, there she is. But this time she wasn't by herself. She had Bambi with her. Little fella. Barely has just out of spots. He didn't still have spots on him, but just a little baby deer behind her. Now listen, I'm not prejudiced. I'll eat either one of them or both. Mama is walking down through there, and she's doing the same thing she did last time, getting them acorns and then looking and everything. Not Bambi. Bambi is walking behind her like a bunch of the young people around here. Mama is paying attention to everything. Here's little Bambi. La, 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 la. Playing, is kicking up her heels or his heels, and I mean just having a big old time. You know what Bambi's doing? Mama's walking circumspectly, but Bambi, he's walking clueless. He ain't got a clue. He ain't got a clue. He's just following his mama. That's all he knows to do. He's following his mama. She gets down to that same, Brother Dave, same 25-yard mark. Instead of just turning sideways, I done got my bow pulled. I'm ready to go, just like last time. You know what she did? The same cotton-picking thing. Bambi's back there kicking up his heel, running off down the hill and coming back. He just playing, having a good time. Mama done nailed me again. Stomping that foot, blowing at me. Here comes little Bambi flying up behind her son. She drop kick, wham! He turned about 5 flips, shook his head. And she looked at him like, hey, stupid. You see that redneck up there? He wants to kill you. Amen. He wants to do you in. If he can't shoot me, he'd just soon shoot you. Are you listening to me tonight? Hey, if you say, well, the devil ain't got my mom and daddy, that don't change him one bit from destroying your life. Amen. Don't live your life clueless. Well, I just don't see anything wrong with this. That's your problem. You don't see. There is danger on every hand. Some of you got them thumbs too busy on that phone. That thing's got danger too. Kids are getting sucked into pedophiles and rapists and everything else in this world. People on the internet trying to tell young girls that they're fat and they're ugly and they ought to kill themselves. More teenagers dealing with mental illness today than any other time in our country. You know why? Because the devil's good at what he does. Amen. Don't live your life clueless. See then that you walk circumspectly. What was that definition? I want to read it again. With watchfulness in every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. When them people at school say, hey, why don't you come go hang out with us tonight? Danger. Danger. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're better than everybody else. But there's places and people you ought to stay away from. Amen. Listen to me. You write this little statement down somewhere. I heard a preacher say it 30 years ago, and I wrote it in one of my Bibles. He said what? He said, you are now or will become who your friends are. You are now or will become who your friends are. I used to tell my mama, Mama, look, just because I run around with them don't mean I'm going to do what they do. She said, sooner or later, you will. And guess what? I did. Amen. I became what they were. Don't live your life clueless. Here's the last of the story. A few weeks later, it was the second week of November. Down around our place, Brother Rob, something happens every year in November in the deer world. The boys fall in love. The boys fall in love. And they start looking for a girlfriend. Several weeks later, it's that time of year. Guess where I'm at? 30 foot up that same pine tree. You'd think I'd move. 30 foot up that same pine tree. 9 o'clock that morning, who shows up? That stinking dove. That same nosy heifer that has busted me twice already, doing the same stuff, eating them acorns and looking around like her head was on a swivel. She got to the same spot, but before she did, I'm setting up that deer stand and I heard something behind her and I thought, here comes Bambi again. It wasn't Bambi, it was Bucky. I'm going to say it again. It wasn't Bambi, it was Bucky. I looked up, and coming behind her, all I saw was horns. I'd never killed a buck with my bow. I never had. I'd killed a doe, but I'd never shot a buck. You would have thought the way I reacted that its horns was this big. It was really about like this. It was a little six-pointer, just stuck up about like that, just a little bitty thing. In my mind, he is a reindeer, son. He was the Hartford elk or whatever, man. That's the biggest. I ain't never shot a buck. But here he come right behind her. Now, Mama was walking circumspectly. Bambi was walking clueless. But Bucky was captivated. Bucky was captivated. She did the same thing. He's walking out through there, got his lip curled up. He's smelling her. I mean, buddy, he is dead after her. He don't know. She looks up in that tree, busts me again, same story, same. I mean, it's like you put the thing on rewind and watched it over and over and over again. I thought, not again. She turned and run off down that hill, and he come running up there behind her, got to my 25-yard mark. Instead of looking up at me like she did, he turned and watching. Where'd she go? Where'd she go? Where'd she go? Now's my time. Now's my time. I had that Matthew's bow already drawn back right through both his lungs. You know what that idiot did? Took off after her. He don't even know he's shot. He's dying and don't even know it. Amen. When them bucks are chasing them does, they grunt. They sound like a pig. And he run off down that hill. I thought, I know I hit that dude. I know I did. I know I double-lunged him. I know I did. And I'm watching him run off down in that holler after that doe. She gone. And he's running. All of a sudden, he slows down. I'm having trouble breathing. I don't know. I'm out of breath. Then he starts wobbling. And then he just falls over. Get that little dying quiver. And I'm up there, yeah. Yeah. Guess what Bucky got to do? He got to ride in my truck.
He did. He got to ride in my truck. Guess what else Bucky got to do? He got to go to the processor and get ground up into sausage, tenderloin, steak. Amen. Why? Because he was captivated by something else. Cost him his life. And it very well could cost you your life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I wonder which one you are tonight. Are you the old mama doe who's paying attention in every direction? Are you Bambi, living your life footloose and fancy free like nothing bad will ever happen to you? Or are you like Bucky? Bucky is just captivated. He's in love. He's Twitter painted. He can't think about nothing but her. Any other time of the year, he is the hardest animal in the woods to kill. Why have I not seen him before? We've been going on a month now since deer season opened. I haven't seen him. I haven't even seen his sign where he's been. Nothing. But all of a sudden, you ever wonder why a certain time of year you see a bunch of dead deer on the road? It's just that one time of year. Because they ain't paying attention to nothing. They'll run right out in front of your truck because they're captivated by her. I'm probably talking to somebody tonight who's captivated by her. I've been there. I was captivated by her. I fell in love with that girl when she's 12 years old. I did. My childhood sweetheart. Amen. Now we're growing old together. Well, I am. She ain't. Good. She's watching me grow old. How about that? Circumspect. Is that you tonight? Or are you clueless as to what's going on around you? Are you clueless? What I'm looking at on the internet won't bother me. This TikTok video ain't that bad. You better be careful. We talked about those influencers last night. You better be careful. Amen. The devil's got lots of influencers. Their job is to influence you into doing wrong. Are you walking captivated tonight? Circumspect? Clueless, captivated. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Listen, I don't know when or if I get to come back here, but I hope you're still here. I hope you're not going out into the world. There's a bunch of kids, y'all look up here at me. There's a bunch of kids just like you whose lives are destroyed tonight because of sin. Because of sin. You need to remember what my little granny, I told y'all about my little granny last night. You need to be able to look at things and go, that's wicked. That's wicked. That ain't there to help me. That ain't there for me to enjoy and have fun. That will destroy my life and I ain't touching it. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Preacher, you come. Somebody come to the piano. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Ain't nobody looking around tonight. Do you know who your daddy is? Are you saved? If you died today, do you know heaven would be your home? Have you got that thing settled in your heart? Are you sure? I wonder if you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt if I died today, heaven would be my home. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I know. I can tell you where I was. I remember when the Lord saved my soul. Praise the Lord. That's just about everybody in the house. Well, what about this? You said, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. But I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. And if you really can know, I'd like to be able to get that settled in my heart. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. Is this okay, preacher? I just want to pray for you. You say, preacher, lift up your hand. Just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please remember me when you pray. Anybody tonight, just slip your hand up and put it like that. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you.